It's good to see you all. Grateful that you're here. I'm going to have to tear into it. A lot of scripture today, but I want to show you what the Lord is teaching us, even through our series. We're in a series, and our series is the developing of who am I when it comes to my identity in Christ, figuring out who I am. Today, we're going to be dealing with the temporary versus eternal. Remember, the introductory sermon to the series was when you are saved, when you are born again, I start looking at life from a soul perspective. I'm no longer looking at it through a fleshly perspective. There's been an upside down. There's been a change. I look at things absolutely from a soul perspective. If you're living a fleshy life, it's hard to think about eternity. Because you're in survival mode. You want the desires of the flesh. When you live with a soul perspective, you're able to stay focused and fixed on eternity, what is what he asked us to do. So last Sunday, we were dealing with our acceptance in Christ. And last Sunday, we were dealing with I am redeemed and forgiven. I have direct access to God. And I am complete in the Lord. That's who I am. That's who I am in him. This Sunday, we're moving from acceptance to we're dealing with our security in Christ. Our security in him. I am secure in Christ. I'm assured all things work together for good. I cannot be separated from the love of Christ and the security of this. If we go back to 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, I want to break it down for you just a moment. Depending on the soul view with you, therefore we do not give up. Don't give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, we're wasting away. What does David write in the Psalms? God, even my bones ache, right? Our inner person is being renewed day by day. Verse 17. If you'll switch over to 17, yes. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. Let me show you something really neat about Paul. I'm going to step into professor mode for a moment. He says that our afflictions are momentary. Only a person with a soul view can say that. If you have a fleshy view of life, you can't say that. You're going to say the whole world's on you. If you have a soul perspective, you're going to realize that your afflictions are only for a moment. If you have a fleshy perspective of life, you're going to say, man, these burdens are just knocking me to the ground. But if you have a soul perspective, you say these afflictions are light. Got it? Yes, you got. There's a difference between viewing life eternally, or looking at it forever, or looking at life in a temporal fashion, which is a fleshy way of looking at things and a fleshy view. And he says, "For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable." So we go from eternal, we go from momentary to eternal. We're not thinking in the moment, we're thinking eternal. And it's gone from light to weight. But what is heavy? The heavy is the glory of God. I duck hunt with a guy in Mississippi. His name's Michael Westmoreland. We call him Mr. Michael. I don't know if you know the culture of the South, but around here, I would call you Mr. and whatever your last name is. In the South, you go by Mr. and whatever your first name is. So around here, I'd be Mr. Eaton. If I'm deeper in the South, I'd be Mr. Jeff. You all understand that culture? All right, good. All right, so Mr. Michael Westmoreland, we were duck hunting one day, and I had my new duck dog, Rev. Many of you all know Rev was killed in an accident, but back then, I'm proud of him now, but I was proud of him then, and I had him in a duck blind. It was one of my first duck hunts with my dog. And I said to Mr. Michael, I said, Mr. Michael, how's my dog doing? And he looked at him. He goes, well, he hadn't bitten anybody. You know, I mean, that's just the view of the South. You know, just that real bottom line, common sense way of looking at things. And we were talking about the gospel. He's a believer. I met him preaching at a church, actually, in Mississippi. And he said, hey, Jeff, he said, I try to figure things out in the gospel. I want to look at this word glory. He said, I just try to do everything I can to find out where the glory spout is pouring it out. And I just want to get under the glory spout. Now, just think about it. Not for himself, but he wants to give God the glory to that. Look at this. Our afflictions on earth, if we have a soul view, are for a moment and they're light. But he says it's incomparable to the forever, compared to momentary, it's forever. Light is compared to weight, meaning, but what's heavy? You and I don't want to carry stuff that's heavy, but I want to tell you something. You want to be under the glory of God. He said if you have a soul view, what happens to you on earth, it does happen to you, but it's light compared to the glory of God and what you will be a part of in the future. I want you to desperately see that before we go any further in the sermon today. Today, we're going to handle I Am Secure in Christ, one of the points I brought up. And I just want to be real plain with you. We could get in theological discussion about a lot of things, but I just want to be real plain and bottom line with you when it comes to the security of Christ. John 10, 27 through 30. John 10, 27 through 30. Jesus is teaching here. He teaches about being the good shepherd in John 10 and other things. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. Never perish. Never perish. Okay? Ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. Wonder what all means. I think all means all. We're not talking about a detergent here, okay? We're talking about all, everything, every ruler, every kingdom, every king, every nation, every army, everything you can muster together. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand, and the Father and I are one. And man, can you start firing all of those theological questions at me, and can I fire them right back at you? We can. Man, we could get into a theological paintball fight right here. But here's where this is where I think the Lord's done in me. It's the way I live, and I live very simply. And my point is this. The question is not, can God keep you? Scripture has already had an override on that. That's not the question. The question you really need to ask is, am I in his grip? That's the question you got to ask. We can get into, well, God can and God can't, and we get into Hebrews where it says, you know, if you lose your salvation, you crucify Christ afresh. And my point when we went through the book of Hebrews in that, and that is, if you don't pay attention to his crucifixion back then, how are you going to pay attention to his crucifixion if it were to happen again today? There only needs to be one. He doesn't need to repeat it. He has you in the grip of his hand. He has you there. It's not, can someone or something snatch you away? It is the fact that, are you in his grip, becomes the question. Look at 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. I'm going to have to walk you through this one too. I love doing this with you all through the scripture. I really do. Blessed is the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's given us a new birth. What happened there? I'm no longer looking at life through a flesh perspective. I'm now looking at life through a soul perspective. That's what happens. Into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. My hope is alive because Jesus is alive. There it is. and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading. Look for this. Very important word. Kept in heaven for you. Let me get bottom line with you. I hope it challenged you to study more. I don't believe Satan can steal my eternal glory. Let me get into very basic teaching with you. Jesus says this. He said, what I have in store for you, he said, moss can't eat it, rust can't decay it, thieves can't steal it. Peter, in one way, is repeating this. He is repeating this. I don't know about you, but I grew up in a home. My mom had mothballs everywhere. I don't know about you. I can still smell my mom's house. Mothballs are everywhere, every drawer, every closet. They were all, and I never saw a moth, which is the reason we had mothballs. But the picture is that moths and rust and thieves are earthly pictures. And he's saying what he has set in store for you in eternal glory, earth can't take it away from you. It is set there. Peter takes this. He says we are kept by the power of God. He said we are kept, but what he has for you as an inheritance is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading. It is kept in heaven for you. Let's go on to the next verses. You are being protected by God's power. It's his sovereignty. But just because of God's sovereignty doesn't mean you lack human responsibility. Now, everybody in theology gets bummed out because we use the word human choice. But there is responsibility for us. You are being protected by God's power through faith for salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time, which means I've been a Christian since I was a little boy. I've been working on my faith. I'm still working on my faith. I will continue to work on my faith until the Lord comes back. Salvation is not just one moment in time. It's a complete process in our life. You're ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this for now, for a short time, because short time is a soul perspective. You have had to struggle. Now, I started off with the verse in Corinthians that talked about struggling. I'm handling this verse because it talks about struggling in various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, as you go through the trials, you emerge. And the person that emerges from this is incredible because it is continually refining your faith. And this process right here of you going through a struggle and the genuineness of your faith coming out of it, it is more valuable than wealth. It is more valuable than gold. What the world throws at you and you walk through with Jesus, when you come out on the other end, the whole picture of that and the whole worth of that is greater than any kind of a monetary value you can have on earth. It which perishes through refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Christ Jesus. You love him, though you have not seen him. I do believe people can see the Lord. I believe he reveals himself. And you and I, in our flesh, will go, well, man, they have a greater moment than I do in my walk of faith. But listen what Jesus says. Blessed are those who have seen me, but more blessed are those who believe in me and have never seen me. In our flesh, we're going to go, well, man, those people who've seen the Lord, they're on an upper level. No, those of us who believe in him and have never laid eyes on him are really at an upper level. More blessed are those who have not seen me. See, here's what's got to happen, even in church. Let me just tell you something. I've been in church all my life. We could bring in a preacher and he's just slinging snot and spitting and sweating and going, and you all will say, man, he had the Spirit. He didn't, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. I want to watch him walk the next day on after that to make a statement to see if he has the Spirit. We'll get caught up in the emotion of it and the sensationalism of it. And we gotta really challenge our own lives and say, are we looking at a soul perspective or a flesh perspective? And he says, you love him though you've not seen him. Though you've not seen him, you believe in him and rejoice in inexpressible and glorious joy, because you're receiving the goal of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. The next verse, or that is all of them. That's got all nine of them. So I wanted you to see, and I am secure in Christ, that he has you, nothing can grab you out. And not only that, it says that we are kept by the power of God in the reservation that we have in him. I am assured, the next point, I am assured all things work together for good. I'll get to the verse in a minute. A lot of you know this verse. It's Romans 8, 28 and 30. But before I get to the verse and walk through it with you, I want you to say that this is not a point of making bad things good. And nor is this a point that I think Paul makes that's keeping us from bad things. Though that can be our goal. We can have a goal to not have a life that is designed to deflect or shelter us from bad things. I want you to know that God's call can lead us to dangerous places. Justin and Ashley. Now, I'm glad Justin's down there and Ashley's down there, but if you were my biological son, I might have a different aspect about it. You know how we are, right? We want God to call people, but just make sure he calls your kids and not mine. Right? Isn't that how it is? Let God call your kids. Don't let him call my kids. But God calls us to dangerous places. Just saw a video of a Nigerian pastor. By the way, Nigeria is tops in the world in the martyrdom of Christians. No other country in the world ranks higher in the number of Christians per year killed than Nigeria. I have some dear friends in Nigeria. And I don't know if you saw the video of the pastor that was executed, and he used his last moment on video to the nation to talk about his faith in Christ. And after that, they executed him. He does call us to dangerous places. I want to remind you that as a pastor, I don't want to help build a church, and I don't, because Jesus builds it, but I don't want to create it as a shelter for all the craziness in the world. I want to bring it in here to challenge you and to connect you with a God who will lead you to a dangerous world. Churches don't have the mind thought of being in this bubble, of being sheltered from this crazy world. As frustrating and as angry as it makes you, he's called us to that crazy world. I want to remind you, before you came to Christ, you were a part of that crazy world. So we don't build a shelter here just so we go, man, that place is crazy. I don't want anything to do with it. He's called you to it. He's called us to it. So I don't want to get into a sermon of bad things don't happen to God's people. Some tragedies occur. But when we go through our tough times, if you're living in the flesh, you'll want to change it. It could be at work. I'm going through a tough time at work. Well, the first response is, let's change my workplace. Not change it, turn around, but leave it. Let me change, go somewhere else. We do that with people, we do that with places, we do that with jobs, we do that with events. Our flesh usually has a response, and the response is not to fight it, but to flee. And if you've ever been through counseling, you know it's the fight or flight response. And we usually pick and choose to run from it. But I want to remind you, and love Logan's song, don't you? I got to hear it first. Atlanta, 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 Atlanta. I got to hear it if y'all did. But in that, he talked about King David. And I want to remind you that a little shepherd boy who had nothing but a slingshot and some rocks ran to the battle line. That's a key line in there. He ran to where the battle line was drawn. So before we get into this verse, I don't want you going, man, I'm mad at God because something happened. Living in this world, stuff is going to happen. But here's the picture of today's sermon. Who am I? I am a person that walks through everything the world throws at me, but I don't walk through it by myself. I walk through it with Him. He is my shepherd. He's not behind me driving me with a stick. He is ahead of me. We never call God to where we are. He calls us to where He is. We find out where He's working. We join Him in that work. And it becomes an important picture. So now let's go through Romans 8, 28 through 30 quickly. We're going to be in the 11 o'clock service. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed. And a lot of times we'll get caught up on foreknowledge of God and the predestination of God. But I think we forget a very valuable piece of the verse. The whole picture of this is to be conformed to the image of His Son. We'll argue over foreknowledge and predestination. I don't have a problem with either one of them. But the problem I have is we skip this one. What's the whole goal? The whole goal is for me to be conformed in the image of His Son so that He would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He called. And those He called, He justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. I can put all that writing of Paul pretty much synonymous with what I gave you in 1 Peter as the day of our salvation. Yes, there was a moment I surrendered my life to Christ. But until I die or He comes back, I am still completing that in my life continually. That is going on in my life. Did we get all the verses in there? We did. I want you to see also the fact that there is the sovereignty of God here and human responsibility. I'm to look like Him. That is my goal. If I have a fleshly view of life, I won't do that. If I have a soul perspective, I will do that. It'll be to be able to look like the person of Christ. Romans 5, 3 through 9. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions. I just want you to know what you're not getting today that I hope you're getting today is that we go through struggles and we go through all kinds of situations. We go through trials and troubles and tribulation and suffering and affliction because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us. Wait a minute. You got to get it. We're starting up here with problems, afflictions, suffering, struggles, all that. And look what affliction, if we walk with it, looking like the Son of God, following Him, endurance, it produces character. Character produces hope. And this hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given before us. I want you to see the process. You got to see the process. You, good will emerge if you follow Him through that situation. Good will emerge. You're asking me, what's it going to look like? I don't know. I don't write that part of it. Because it's what's happening in you, and what's happening in you will be passed on to others, and it's you just need to know that I'm a strong believer that the gospel is the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. It's every bit of that. It's the incarnation. It's the cross. It's the resurrection. It's the ascension. It's the promise of His coming back. It's all that He can do and save. But I want to remind you in the middle of the Psalms, I will always say this, is He says, I don't see any of us lining up to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If you went to Gatlinburg and they had a walk, and let's go through the valley of the shadow of death, they'd probably go out of business. I don't think anybody would want to go through there. But it says He leads me through it. I think the word through is even key to the gospel. Because salvation came through Christ in His incarnation. Salvation comes that I get to Jesus through the cross. The power of his resurrection is given through to me in being saved. It just goes on and on and on. And whatever we walk through, we want a problem-free, stress-free, we want a suffering-free life. You and I know that's not going to happen. Don't buy into the infomercial on TV that it will. It will not. And when we walk through it with Christ, we emerge on the other end. And when we emerge, we're looking more like him. That is the key. I am assured that all things will work to good for those that love him, of what he will do in us. I cannot be separated from the love of Christ. Romans 8, 35 and 39, great passage. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction, anguish, persecution, persecutioners, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, as it is written, because of you we are being put to death all day long. We are sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that not even death or life or angels or rulers, those things present or things to come or hostile powers, height, depth, or any other created thing will have the power, do you see that, to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus for all of us. Whatever you've experienced, there's going to be more. I can say that in a good way, and I can say that in a struggling way. Whatever, you may get to the point in your life and going, man, all that's over. It may not be. I just want to tell you, we serve a God who has promised us his son to always be with us. Coleman says this in one of his books that I'm reading. It doesn't matter what you've experienced, there's going to be more of it. That's good or bad. Trials, disappointments, sufferings. But the promise is you will emerge. Where is that promise? Look at Philippians 1:6. I'm getting ready to start preaching even though I'm ending, okay? Philippians 1:6. I am sure of this. I am sure of this, Paul said. Remember, he's in prison when he wrote this too, by the way. That he who started a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I am sure of this, he says. You will emerge. A lot of times in a counseling session, I will tell people, what's the goal of our counseling session? For you to become the Jesus that he made you to be. There's a Jeff that he made. And there's a Jeff that he sees. That he wants me to be like. Obviously, it's to emerge to look like him. But he gave me a certain personality. He did that of you. My point in all that is he created a Jeff for him. And I want to become that Jeff for him. And I want you to become the you that he made you to be. And let that person be able to emerge. Look at Ephesians 3, 18 and 19. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the width and the height and the depths of God's love. Look at this. And to know the Messiah or Christ's love, it surpasses knowledge. It surpasses knowledge. His love goes greater than all the world's wisdom and all the world's knowledge. So you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And we handle that in another sermon. God put his fullness in Jesus, and Jesus and his fullness is now absolutely in you. And I'm going to jump up and down and shout and all this kind of stuff and on this verse right here, 2 Timothy 1:2. I think it combines everything that I've said today. Paul is talking about the gospel and his suffering. And this is why I suffer these things. Hang on. No matter what you're going through, Jimmy, with you and Leah and your family, with Bev at the deathbed of her mama, with what Julie and I went through with Tom. Gosh, I've missed Charles Humpston. And man, I've missed Charles Burke. You hear me? We've all had a lot of stuff happen to us. I've even cried out to the Lord, Lord, you're taking some of our most valuable leaders away. And then he looks at me like, okay, Jeff, we got to go up another step on the ladder. It's increased my leadership, this church. I suffer these things, but listen, no matter what happens, I am not ashamed because I know the one who I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep or guard what has been entrusted to me until that day. Listen, folks, you are secure with Christ. There is no one greater, no one. Kings, armies, Alexander the Great, no one in history or even in the future that is greater than the one that is living in you. And he will lead you through. I want to get real simple. Can I get country simple with you? You remember when he was raised from the dead and he was on the earth for 40 days? And the disciples were behind the door. They were in a room and the door was shut and the door was locked. Now this is real simple theology. What did he do? He walked through the door. He just walked through the door. I mean, that's pretty awesome to me. I mean, I'm an outdoorsman. I like a man that says, well, throw your net over there and you'll catch all the fish you want. I'm like, I'm hanging out with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? He knows where the fish are. Who needs a fish finder when you got Jesus in the boat, right? Who needs that? I mean, just think about it, guys. Just think about it. The man who tilted our earth just at the right tilt and put it on the right axis, and even though you're going so many thousands of miles per hour as we're moving here, it's as if we are sitting still and too far from the sun and we're going to freeze to death, and too close to the sun and we're going to burn up in a second. And just think, that person is living in you. And there is nobody greater than him. Nobody. And you're going to go, I mean, when you get people who are really mature in Christ, you're going to go, man, look at all the stuff that you had to walk through. And they won't pay attention to what they walk through. They'll just tell you about the one they walk through it with. He will lead you through. Let's say this as our testimony today, and let's say it together. And this is why I suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, because I know the one who I have believed in and persuaded that he is able to guard that which has been entrusted to me until that day. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a time spent with you and your presence and a time in your word. We thank you for that. Thank you for the promise of salvation, everything, grace, mercy. I'm just all of it. You love all of it, but you do make a promise that you'll lead us through, that you will complete what you started in us, and we lay that at your feet. We even surrender even this moment to you. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. The invitation is this. Come and surrender your life to Christ. Come. May have never done that. Come surrender today. As we take communion, you're a guest. We practice open communion. The bread represents his body given, the drink his blood shed. Take the bread, dip it in the drink before you consume it. Remember his sacrifice. Remember what all he went through for us and what he leads us through, and give him thanks. The invitation is this. Whosoever will, for whatever reason, come. I like it when people go to the communion table and they can't wait. Don't you? Don't you like that picture right there? I love you. I just want you to know that. Church, let's stand. Counselors, find your spot.